adjusted basis, the adjustment was done for dual currency effect in Myanmar. The decline in Max Care revenue is mostly attributable to the loss of one principal in Myanmar, as guided at the start of the year. Overall, gross profits in 1H 2023 have improved to 44.7% of the operating revenue, as compared to 43.7% in 1H 2022, due to the improved gross margins of Max Care business. Branded business gross margins held steady at a healthy level of 65.2% in 1H 2023, as guided earlier. Distribution business gross margins improved to 21.5% on an adjusted basis in 1H 2023. Gross margins of distribution business have improved partly due to the exit of one principal in Myanmar, which had a relatively lower gross margin. Gross margins are also influenced by principal mix, amongst other factors. SG&A expenses were steady at 26.8% of the operating revenue for 1H 2023, which is quite similar to 1H 2022 levels, where the SG&A expenses stood at 26.7% of the operating revenue. Adjusted net profits in 1H 2023 were steady at 1.18 billion. Adjustments to net profits are made for Forex gains and losses, for non-recurring material income, expenses, or taxes, and for losses from newly started businesses. Reported net profits in 1H 2023 were 984 million, as against 1.182 billion in 1H 2022, reflecting a decline of 16.8% YoY. The decline mainly arising from the one-time impact of Forex loss due to depreciation of Nigerian naira against the US dollar in 1H 2023. Since we always adjust our selling prices in line with the prevailing exchange rates, we should be able to recover some portion of this currency loss during the second half of the year 2023. Operating cash flows in 1H 2023 were healthy at 864 million baht, representing 87.8% of the net profits. We continue to be a net cash company with a strong balance sheet. On the CapEx front, we have spent 128 million baht towards CapEx in 1H 2023, with majority of the spending coming towards consolidation of manufacturing operations and capacity expansion in Thailand and in Australia. On the new products front, we plan to launch 22 new unique products in the year 2023. In 1H 2023, we have launched seven new products so far. Moving forward to the 2Q 2023 performance, overall revenue was stable at 3.992 billion in 2Q 2023, reflecting a growth of 1.6% YoY. Brands revenue in 2Q 2023 remains stable at 2.019 billion. Distribution business declined by 8.6% on an adjusted basis. The decline in Max Care revenue is mostly attributable to the loss of one principal in Myanmar, as guided at the start of the year. Overall, gross profits improved to 45.7% of operating revenue in 2Q 2023, as compared to 42.6% in 2Q 2022, due to the improved gross margins of Max Care business. Branded business gross margins held steady at a healthy level of 66.9% in 2Q 2023, as guided earlier. Distribution business gross margins improved to 23.1% on an adjusted basis due to the reasons as explained earlier. SG&A expenses improved to 26% of operating revenue for 2Q 2023, as compared to 27.6% of operating revenue in 2Q 2022. Adjusted net profits in 2Q 2023 were 641 million baht, up by 15.2% on a YoY basis. The increase was mainly on account of improved gross margins of distribution business, and also because of comparatively lower SG&A spending. Reported net profits in 2Q 2023 were 531 million baht, down by 6.7% YoY. The decline mainly arising from the one-time impact of Forex loss due to the depreciation of Nigerian naira against the US dollar in 2Q 2023. This was, in brief, the synopsis of the financial performance. May I now request our CEO, Mr. Vivek Dhawan, to share his views and his remarks on the financial performance and his guidance for the year ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Francis. Sawasdee krub, Thuktan. Good morning, good evening, everybody. I'm Vivek here. I think Francis has given you a background on what's happened in the first quarter as well as the first half. Looking at the scenario around the world, and I think you are aware how COVID is not around, and what did help everybody in the last two years is not helping us anymore. In spite of that, our business has remained stable. The good sign is the branded business continues to do well. And because Mega has a nice restructured portfolio that includes pure prescription drugs, over-the-counter drugs, supplements that are non-COVID related, and supplements that are also have been used for COVID. So we did not launch any product that was only launched for COVID. So the good thing is, except one product which was directed mainly towards COVID, that was Vireo. Other than that, all our products are normal product that we sell regularly. So they've had a bump. They had a bump up, and they are back, not back to normal. They are back to a new normal, I would say, a new normal. So that's a good sign. Things are better than pre-29, pre-COVID, but they will never be what they were in 22 when COVID was at peak and panic was happening. So that's one good sign. Other than that, our drug pipeline, our supplement pipeline, 22 products, as Francis said just now, have been launched. 14 were launched last year, altogether 36. Plus whatever else we are doing on branded business, investing money in growing our brand, we continue to do the same thing. We haven't changed our model. We haven't changed our guidance. We still believe 19, we made some 1,200, 1,100, some 1,200 million baht. We still believe that we will double our profitability in 25. As we had said earlier, what we saw in the 2 years was a bump up, acceleration, but that's only a bump. But we are still moving in that direction to reach our goal and probably beat it by 25. So that's our guidance, remains there, has no change in our plans. And we are moving in that same direction without any change that we have already discussed and have already identified and told you about. Indonesia, we have done and built. The plant is now getting ready to start the development work and expansion work. The CapEx has been approved by the board, and we are now going to build an additional facility to put a softgel line, be ready for two tableting line, automatic packaging line, bigger production capacity to get ready for future growth in Indonesia. We're already seeing some things happening, movement in the right direction. Production has increased, supplies have gone up, and a lot of our oncology products have been approved and launched in Indonesia already, and there's more in pipeline. So we are moving in the right direction. We are hoping, as we said, around the 25 period, we start seeing some meaningful contribution. And I think somewhere around 28, 29, we have said we should start seeing profitability out of Indonesia. We had earlier projected. I don't have the exact date with me at the moment. CapEx for Thailand is normal. We have continued to spend money on regular improvements. The new plant was commissioned last week. I was there, so we have started the new facilities. And hopefully, consolidation and bringing all the plants under one roof will start happening in the next 3-4 months. So hopefully, from January 24, all our new plants will start running, be operational. It's the state-of-the-art, well-designed. For the next 10, 15 years, we should be having enough capacity and enough area built already, other than minor improvements and additions that we keep doing to equipment and machinery. I don't think we'll be spending much on CapEx in Thailand. So that's the part of the plan. We have a plan for Vietnam, which has also been approved by the board. We are in process of getting all the things sorted out, so we don't have much details at the moment, but we have plans to set up a manufacturing site in Vietnam. Manufacturing sites that take at least 2.5 years to get ready from the time approvals and getting site approval, GMP, 2.5 years, and by the time you start another. So these are long-term investments in businesses where we are, especially Vietnam. Like Indonesia is a country where local manufacturing, et cetera, are given preferences. There are other reasons to be there because there are certain regulations which are very conducive to local manufacturers. So we are going to invest money in Vietnam. It's a very important market for us, our top three in our business, so we are investing money in Vietnam. Other than that, I don't have much to say. I mean, Burma, I'm sure there's a concern, but that concern remains. It hasn't changed today. The situation is known to all of you. I will not make any comments on the political and other situation, but that's real. In spite of the real situation, we are doing the best we can. In this situation, yes, some consumer companies have decided to leave Myanmar, and that's also impacted us. And with the restrictions on trade and funds and import licensing, that also affects some consumer businesses. But the great thing is the pharma businesses that we are involved in, which is a large part of our business, profitability and whatever else, so we are still strongly positioned to continue doing what we are doing in Myanmar. With hope that as things get better, we are there and we will remain and continue to build our brand in Myanmar. Nigeria is a one-off situation, which is a book issue. I think Francis explained that already. Government came out and announced a new standard rate, which is a new rate now, a new base to start with. We keep correcting prices in the market regularly, and we do that for our product as far as we can. But this is the situation in Nigeria. We have a strong position there, and we plan to continue doing what we are doing in Nigeria, building our brand and business. So that's the way it is. Other than that, I think things are looking all good. We are moving in the right direction. We are building our brand, both consumer health and pharmaceutical healthcare. All the two portfolios are growing, and the pharma portfolio is probably growing faster because of the sheer fact that pharmaceutical business worldwide is probably 20 times larger than the consumer health business anyway, if not more. So $1 trillion of pharma business and a $50 billion to $80 billion of the consumer health maybe in that range, so 10 times. So the pharma business is definitely growing faster as we get more products approved in the markets where we are. But we have a good balance of both portfolios, good brands, and all our brands are medicinal supplements. So we remain very convinced that we are in the right direction and we are doing the right things. And hopefully, very hopefully, not only hopefully, very surely, we are moving in the right direction to achieve that $2.4 billion in 2025. So that's about it from me. I would rather take questions from you rather than explain anything else, because most of the things Nigeria, Myanmar, branded business margins have been discussed and have been explained. There may be some questions on each of these items. If you tell us your name, as we say, and your company and ask the question, we will try and answer what we can today. If you miss anything, we're always there at your service at call to answer them. So let's begin.
Yes.
There are questions already from now.
Yes. This is Yuani from Gumti.
Good afternoon. I think we can't hear you. Is there somebody talking? Yeah, I see a hand raised.
Can
the speaker is off.
Can you hear me?
Me seeing that I'm not hearing this. How come this is not on our speaker?
Maybe
no. She's talking. It's coming out of your computer. Maybe this is not on.
Not connected.
No, it's not connected. That's another problem. That's not working. This camera.
Okay, I will let other people.
Please hold on.
1 second, please. There's some technical glitch. Give us a minute.
Hear us?
Yes, I can.
Now we can hear you. Yes.
Okay. A couple of questions. Thank you for the excellent set of results. My first comment would be that in the MD&A, can you please always break down, you know, the quarterly result, not just information for the first half? That would be much appreciated. Secondly,
is your MD doesn't have quarterly results broken down?
It has.
Maybe we have changed the format so it looks a little bit different.
Yeah, it's Konjivani, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, so Konjivani, we have been providing all the details of quarterly results as well. Look at the P&L.
But maybe we can look at it again. Maybe there's some confusion. You can. But it's there, has to be there, because this is a quarter result. It's not a half year result, right?
Okay, yes. Now, a couple of questions. First, Nigeria, can you please tell us if you sell in local currency or US dollar?
Local currency. We cannot sell in US dollars in Nigeria. It has to be sold in Naira. We import goods, we stock in our warehouse, and we correct prices based on the Naira in the market rate, that is black market rate, official rate. So we try and price our products related to Naira based on the pricing that the product can afford. So if the Naira is today 750, we will also be pricing around there, you know. If the Naira was 450, we'll be pricing around there. So it's a pricing decision that our teams make there, and it's close to the dollar exchange rate. And then we buy dollars in the market, dollars from the bank, CBN rate. So the banks sell dollar, we have to apply and we get dollars. So that's how we operate in Nigeria.
You mean you sell in Naira, but it's pegged to US dollar?
Kind of. I mean, the pricing is based on the US dollar rate. So we peg ourselves and price the product to trade based on the dollar rate. So the market teams, all of them, in our businesses where we are, our teams are very conscious of the exchange rate because we work in many developing countries. So most of our products, when imported, we have a dollar price and we'll keep looking at the Naira at that time and forward. So we keep pricing our products using that exchange rate.
But how come you made a large forex loss in this quarter, if that's the case?
Francis tried to explain this to you, that when we have in books, you probably use a standard rate. So the standard rate before in the market was 450. The new rate the government announced all of a sudden one day, when they woke up, they said, now the new president came in, right? If you know, the new president in Nigeria is a new president. He's made some very tough decisions. The tough decisions are no more subsidy on oil. And all these things have been removed. The one other thing that he did was he changed the Naira official government rate to 750. So overnight, they changed from 450 to 750. So now we have to use in our book 750. Whereas in the old mechanism, we are using all our reporting, all our stocks at 450, right? AR and everything at 450. So it's a book, but we may be selling the product when it was 450 already at 475.
So it's another dual currency issue. Same as Myanmar, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, next question is, can you expect something similar, I mean, FX loss similar to in the next quarter?
The chances are the 750 will not be new pegged at now 1,500, right? So the dual change 750, it may not happen. But in dual currencies,
I think, Yone, this is Thomas. Yeah, see, the impact of this was one time. Because, you know, we were, you know, under the laws of accounting, international accounting standards, we had to use the government, the Bank of Nigeria rate, even though the market rate was, you know, much, you know, higher. So this, you know, all of a sudden, because of this, we had to recast our books. So, you know, on the outstandings, basically accounts receivable and payable to Mega's, you know, parent company in Thailand, on that we had to take a one-time hit. And now the auditors and all of us were aware, but you know, because of the accounting standards, we had to use that rate. Will this happen again? No, because for the time being, we have changed prices, and unless there is a huge gap that grows like this, which I think we will, you know, start reporting that to you in advance from next time, if at all something like this happens, with the permission of the auditors. So we are going to talk to the auditors and make sure that, you know, this is reported well in advance. Thank you.
But in this case, you wouldn't have known, because
we knew
overnight when he came, and the president
in the whenever that rate becomes one, we knew this, it will come.
Yeah.
We have talked to the doctors.
Yeah. In this case, he overnight changed.
Yeah.
If it's a market rate and black market, then it's different, because that's official. So
exactly.
Yeah. Then now you have, can you report the actual rate?
Reporting at 400 and actual rate is 800.
Anyway, actual rate is 800. So the book don't allow you. Auditors don't allow you.
We are not allowed. Auditors are aware.
But this time the government, the new prime minister, president came and he said, okay, new rate now 750. So you had no other choice but to change the rate, right?
Okay. Of that 226, how much is FX loss from Nigeria and how much is from Myanmar?
One 50 is Nigeria, right? Net?
225, you're talking about H1H, right?
Yeah.
1H, yeah. 180
no,
is
no,
coming.
No, no, no. Second quarter.
Second quarter. 170 is coming from Nigeria.
Uh-huh. And the rest from Myanmar?
No, the rest is coming from Thailand. From Thailand as various other markets, because Nigeria remains the majority one in that.
FX loss from Thailand?
FX loss from Thailand because the currency had currency. If you look at the US dollar versus Thai baht, the currency had in fact changed in the last. We report the, our forex loss based on consignment. So as the stocks get sold, the corresponding forex losses also get reported in our books accordingly.
Okay, thank you. Next question is gross margin for the distribution business. Do you think it will stay like this in the next quarter?
See, I think even in Myanmar, there are, you know, currency issues going on. So even though, you know, this has been a, you know, positive, you know, outcome, it happened because one of the lower contributing principals left us as we had guided, you know. So the principal mix changed. So will this continue? It's very difficult to, you know, forecast because it really depends on how, which principal's business, you know, grows faster than the other principals, you know. So it really depends on the combination of the principals and the business that, you know, comes out of them. But yeah, I think this, I mean, it won't completely come down. I think it will still show, you know, a improved trend. But we can't say that this will be maintained at that level. It could drop 1.5% as well.
What's the standard? 18%?
18.5, something like that, yeah.
18.5 is still a possibility.
No, what I'm saying is now we've gone 25, oh. 21, you know, so, oh. Because, so will it come down to 18.5?
Could be.
So yes, it could be, you know, not up, completely up there, but, you know, closer to that than the previous normal.
Okay, two more questions. Vietnam. You are building a new plant. How much is that going to contribute to your sales in the next, say, 3 to 5 years?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing in the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah?
Because the plant takes 4 years to 4 to 5 years to start. 2.5 years to build, 2 years to get registration. So 5 years, forget it. There's nothing going to be contributed to the low bottom line or to the top line. And number two, this is being also done to ensure future supplies. Maybe some of it today we outsource, some of we get from other sources, we don't know. So it's for growth. Not only growth, it's for ensuring future business as well. So it may not have a big impact on turnover. It may have a guarantee of future stability and future sales. So we'll add more product. We may grow some of our units because products are made in Vietnam. So it's a strategic investment to remain in Vietnam, to continue in the drug business, and to be able to play in the pharmaceutical industry in the Vietnam market.
Okay, my last question. Your branded business has been quite resilient. Can you please tell us what is the growth from the supplement business and the medicine business? Are they both growing equally or one is
no, they're not. The pharma business is growing faster. The pharma business is definitely growing faster. And the supplement business is flatter.
Flat or decline, supplement?
Flatter. Yeah. It's flat because there are some parts of the supplement business are growing faster, equal to the pharma business. There's a part of the business growing faster, the other part of the OTC business is growing. The degrowth is not very much. Prescription business is growing much faster because our range of products are much higher. So the nutraceutical business, if you take away COVID products, is growing. If you add COVID products, because the growth was so much, if you look at 35-40% growth in the 2 years, is too high. I don't use that as a degrowth. We look at 2019 benchmarking and then we see we are still growing.
But there is also currency impact and all.
So, and this also, yeah, sometimes currency impacts are there.
So, if you really look at all that, I think.
So, it's quite stable. If we take away discount the COVID products, If you look at overall growth, so the Nutra business is quite flat. In the consumer health, we have two parts, Nutraceutical and over-the-counter drugs. Over-the-counter drugs are flat. The Nutra business overall is slightly lower. But if you take away the COVID products and all this currency and all that, I think both of these businesses are flat, whereas the pharmaceutical business is growing.
And the mix is 35%
nutraceutical. Yeah, 35-40, 60 now. Pharmaceutical between 35-40 and the consumer 60. Consumer health includes supplement and over-the-counter drugs, or we call them self-medication. Yeah.
Okay, that's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. There's a question on the, sorry, I saw on the chat. Can I answer one question? Outlook for consumer trend, Africa, price sensitivity, how could you increase profitability to heavy price, especially in emerging countries? Outlook for consumer trend, how good is it? Consumer trend in our business, pharma business, is showing growth. People are back to hospital. Disease is still growing. So the pharma business doesn't have a negative trend in most of the markets where we are. And I think in all the countries where we have seen the pure prescription business is growing. Units are growing in some cases because of patents are gone. There are many players, there are price pressures. Some of them are unique. There are less price pressure. That's a constant problem. It's not unique. It happens all the time. It's not particularly related to this period or the other period. It'll happen all the time as new products go off patent, more people come in. So this is very common. As far as the wellness industry is concerned, the trend is positive. People are more concerned about health, and there is a definite growth in the consumption of wellness-related products, and we are in the right areas, and we believe the trend is good. But if we look at COVID and start comparing with the COVID period, I don't think that's a good measure. So if you discount and remove that, the businesses are still doing well. I think they're still in the right track, and they are doing better than they would have done otherwise. You know, so the growth, if you look at growth over three periods and not only over the two, start from 19 to now, they're all growing. They've all grown. So that's a good sign. Competition in Indonesia, yeah, there's price competition. You have to compete. Yeah, it's the same thing. There's price competition in Europe for tendering business. There's price competition in US for all the generic products. So being in the right generic product, being able to produce it competitively, having new molecules coming in to substitute your products, having a pipeline of unique, new, old volume. So it's a mix. It's a mixed bag. Any business is a mixed bag. So we are both. We are competing on price in some areas in Indonesia, and some areas we are number one, number two. We are only have three products, and we have the ability to price them better. So we are doing both. I think that's the normal course of doing business. So I hope that answers your question about price competition. Manufacturing Vietnam, I think we just answered that just now. Not very different. Vietnam is a pure pharma plant. It has to be only for medicines and drugs, and it'll be only for specialized products that we don't make in Thailand. We don't make all the drugs in Thailand. We do very few pharmaceutical products in solid oral dosage forms, tablets and hard gels, and specialized bilayered sustained release, and all this will be done in Vietnam for the Vietnam market, also for other markets. So that's more details.
We don't discuss
every principle. Principle-wise names and them, because this is part of secrecy agreement. But one of the principal lost is in the consumer market, and that's exactly impacted the distribution business, but not as much profitability as we have mentioned to you before. There was somebody has a hand raised here. I can then take this question from you, please. Go ahead. We can carry on the other side.
Hello. Hi. This is Thanapon from PGSMB. Thanks for taking the question. So you mentioned earlier in the call that you will adjust local selling price to the prevailing exchange rate. So my concern is on the affordability of the local buyers whose income may not be able to keep up with the price. So I just wonder what is the customer feedback that you hear so far, and maybe if you have expect any impact on demand.
Yeah, I mean, this is a challenge, Nanakon. This is very mathematical. Currency goes up to 1,000. Can I transfer all the price to the consumer, or we don't transfer? But then in the market, if everybody transfers all the price increase to the consumer, you also transfer, there's no choice. Pharmaceuticals are not drugs of, you know, you cannot make a choice. So if the whole market increases, you also increase, you are fine. If they have nobody increases, only you increase, then you have a challenge. Unless you are a patented or a unique product, right? So in the OTCs where you are a branded product, the impact is probably a little bit less because people buy your product for what they believe in, and if there is still a market. And also, the segment of the market we cater to is probably 5% of a country. You know, we are not, out of 220 million Nigerians, we are only targeting some 4 or 5 million Nigerians who don't probably have a currency impact to that extent. So the numbers we are talking to are very small. Similarly, case in Myanmar. And the other part is wherever we have drugs, if we are competing, then we also look at competition. And then we anyway price, anytime we price products in the market. Currency is not the only criteria. The criteria is the right price. So that's always done, whether the currency is X or Y. So when the currency changes the market, other people also, our competitors also change prices, we also change prices. If they don't change prices, we see where we have a benefit, where we can change prices and people will pay for it, we change prices. So these things are very normal, regular things that we do on an ongoing basis. In many countries, very standard. In Myanmar, you have a dollar price list and then is multiplied by the new rate because the whole market does it. Everybody does it. If the currency changes, the whole market stops supplying. But if people correct prices because they want to compete, that's a competition issue. That's not a price. That's not an exchange rate issue.
Okay. Okay, that's clear. And maybe just another question on the branded business. So in the first half, I believe, so in the second quarter, I believe it dropped by about 3% in Southeast Asia. Maybe if you can share some color on which country is leading the drop and which one is stronger than another.
I think the drop is across, especially in the COVID-related product, wherever. If Thailand was very big with vitamin C and vitamin D, the drop will be huge in terms of value, right? Because they are huge. But if you look at other things, then you will find a lot of growth in the non-COVID products in Thailand also. So that's why there's a good balance happening here. So more drugs, the drug business is growing. Hospital business in Thailand has seen growth in the last 6 months everywhere. So we have also seen growth in the double digit area, right? So there are drops in the COVID business, but we have seen growth in non-COVID businesses, even in the supplement category. So overall, if you look at it, we have seen this is stable. So there is a drop overall, but as I mentioned before, one is drop because of exchange rates, etc. One is drop in non-COVID product, but growth in non-COVID product, drop in COVID product. So it balances out. So overall, Nutra is probably flat or a little bit, a few percentages down. OTC is flattish. Flattish hasn't grown in terms of value because of exchange and all that. And pharma has grown in real value. So this is a general trend across, I think, most markets.
And when do you expect growth to resume for the branded business?
I think the growth, there are also two other reasons, I think. One is COVID-related products. So stop comparing, please, from 21, 22. Start comparing against 29, 19. There is growth, number one. Number two, start comparing now because a lot of people in the market are carrying. What happened in COVID, as far as I know and I think, is everybody got into vitamin C and vitamin D and zinc. And they are carrying so much stocks. For us, it's easy because we were doing vitamin C anyway before. If you looked at, we were doing maybe X amount, say $10 million of vitamin C, and we grew to 20, let's say. But other people were doing zero. Everybody is carrying stocks and they don't have other businesses. So they have no other option but to discount and flood the market or clear their stock because they're going to have expiries. So this is a big problem in the market. Everybody is carrying in this industry. But in our case, we probably don't have that big an overhang, right? So as the market clears up, stocking clears up, and the product range that we have, which are non-COVID, which are growing, we should see growth starting to start happening second, third quarter, fourth quarter, and going forward in 24. And that's my view that 24 onwards, real players who are in this business long-term and are actually building brands, we see this as an opportunity to really go after and build brands in the next 2 years. And as invest money in building the Mega We Care brand in the area that we are in, heart health, diabetic, joint health, a lot of area that we have many, many good products, cold, cough, probiotics, etc., gut health, woman health, and we are doing that. And we think that the future in the next 24-25, we should see growth returning to the consumer health business also with the pipeline we have with sprays and pain joint sprays, etc., that we are launching in the pain category, in the allergy category. So I believe that we will see growth returning 24-25 to all these consumer health category as well, while our pharma business grows at a little bit faster rate because our pipeline is bigger. Not only because we have the same product, because we also have a much larger pipeline. And pharma anyway has a much larger pipeline. Please compare the pharma and the consumer health businesses. They are largely, I mean, their difference is 10 times or 20, 10 to 20 times in the market size. If Thailand is $4 billion worth of pharma market, out of it, the consumer market may not be more than $500 million.
Thank you.
I'll go down. Yeah, there's one more hand in there. If anybody has, or somebody, is your hand still there, Kundra? Unless somebody has more questions.
Swadika, hello.
Swadika.
Swadika. Okay. My name is Narimon from KKPS. I have a few questions. Thank you very much for your presentation. Yes. Let me start with the question about the number about the FX, foreign exchange loss. On the reported number, right? Your FX loss is 226 million baht, 226, right? But in the MD&A on page number 6, the adjusted FX is 150 million baht. So I just curious to know what is the different number between 226 and 150 on reported and on the MD&A side? What makes that those number different?
Manoj will answer your question. 1 minute. Yes, Manoj.
Yes. So, Kudurmon, when we normalize the forex gain loss, we keep Myanmar out because Myanmar, we have already explained that the Myanmar forex loss is coming because of the dual currency impact.
Mm.
So, we are reporting higher gross margin as well as higher forex loss, but ultimately in the P&L, it is nullifying against each other. So what we are seeing in the MD&A at the top part is the one which is reported as a forex loss, but when we are normalizing the forex loss, we are keeping Myanmar out of it.
Okay, so yeah. So the difference is should be adjusted in gross margin, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay, clear. Khapkuna kha. And my next question is it's about the distribution business in Myanmar. Okay. For adjusted number, sales down 8.6%, right? So could you please explain more about what about the volume change in the distributions in Myanmar? Is that can I assume that the 8.6 falling is directly from just volume, is not about pricing, right? Or could you please explain about the volume sales for distributions in Myanmar?
I think we had explained this earlier. This is mainly because of one principle, consumer principle, leaving us.
Okay.
Missing the majority of it is attributable to that. Otherwise, okay. We are more or less flat.
Also, Myanmar, when we said currency, dollar and chart is converted equally, we change the prices. So it's a straight unit. So volume and missing is not different. Volume and value is nearly the same, right? Generally, very little. Other than the product mix changes, some principle, one product is doing very well, other is not doing very well. That's a different thing. So value and volume in units in Myanmar, generally, it may happen. It can happen in normal times also. One product did very well last year, is doing less this year. That's possible. But otherwise, it's quite not equal. It's not far away. It's not just price increase or dollar increase, adjustment in dollar prices or chart prices. It's quite equal. I think my thinking is quite equal. It's not very far away. Can be a little bit plus minus, but not very far away.
Mm. Okay, clear, ka. Understood, ka. And next question is, we got a negative surprise from FX loss in Nigeria, right? I understand it's one time. So, but my question is there any FX risk in the other frontier market that you expose business on, like Nigeria, that just wanted to know, you know, is there any effect risk like in Nigeria that maybe downside risk in the future?
As I know
it's
now, very,
it's hard to to answer this question, but just give us an idea on the like a very frontier market risk.
See, Nigeria was a very unique occurrence because the government had one rate. The Bank of Nigeria had one rate, and the actual market rate was different. So, as per the accounting standards, we have to use the bank rate. Mm-hmm. Even though we approached the auditors, we actually tried to change it. They said no, we have to go by the actual rate. We cannot go by the market rate because that's not official. So we knew this was coming. I think probably we tried to bring that out through our books earlier because this is not a new happening. But then the auditor said that is not possible. So I think from next time on, if at all there is a situation like this, we would actually make this part of their MDA, and even though we can't reflect it in the book. So, but your question: are there any other countries? As far as we know, so far none. But will they come in the future? That we don't know. Myanmar also has got dual currency, but because out there the cash flow is much faster, the turnaround is much faster, the impact of that is not much. But situation could change. So as of now, we don't know about any country that could have this. But
none of them are that sizable also. Myanmar, you accept Myanmar.
Correct.
Other countries are not that one day you can have 150 million baht.
Correct. No, but I think what we will do is that if such a situation builds, we will inform rather than waiting for the government to correct it and then all of a sudden the amount becomes bigger. Because it's a gradual build-up, normally. So if we can, report that on a regular basis, it won't come as a one-time hit, like this.
Okay, and my last question is in the Indonesia. Could you please update sales from Indonesia in the second quarter and outlook for the second half this year? Thank you.
I don't think we break down sales country-wise. I'm sorry. We don't give country-wise sales, but as I said, our sales in Indonesia in the first half have been very good compared to last year. They have grown in double digits in Indonesia. And largely our pharma sales from our plant. Our production has also doubled in the last 6 months. So we have seen growth in production, which is 100% over growth in output, and also growth in our sales from our manufactured products. And our brand registrations of drugs in Indonesia, we have got quite a few oncology products. I think there are six of them have been launched. So that pipeline that we had planned, that we are going to get new product registered through our facility, and we will start to do local manufacturing of product that we are doing there. The other, our tech transfers are ongoing. So the idea of that plant is to manufacture products locally for supply to government tenders, etc., in the pharma category. And products that we are allowed to import, we import till we have to make locally in 5 years' time. And that's exactly what we are doing. And we are seeing good growth, which started only this year. Because it took us 2-3 years to get all the approvals. And we have mentioned that this 25 is the kind of break-even plan we have. And then 28, 29, we should see turnaround and profitability coming there. So that was the original plan, and I think we are still sticking to it. It takes 5 years. This was because we don't have a plan to put up 2 years, so this is a 3 year, 3 to 4 year. COVID delayed it by 1 or 2 years. It's a 3-4 year break even, and then we should start seeing profitability. So that's the plan. So we have to invest. But this was a plan which was very small. So we have to invest in upgrading EU, GMP, and putting new lines and all that we have to do, which we are doing. Which we are doing now, which will finish in about 1.5 years. So time frame is 2 years, right? From now till 2025, third quarter, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the plan, upgrading the plant, increasing the capacity, all that we are doing also. So simultaneously, we are increasing capacity, getting new products and getting ready, which by 25 end or third quarter, we should be ready.
Mm. โอเคเข้าใจแล้วค่ะขอบคุณนะคะ
ครับขอบคุณมากครับ
A couple of questions on the how we going to fund the Vietnam project is one. I think I mean it's a long term need, so mostly we will fund it internally because we still are a net cash company, and this funding will be done over the next 3-4 years. So it's not going to be a one time outflow. So I don't see the significant change in our cash position, from what it is today because of this, because it's going to be spread out. And is there any margin difference between vitamins and pharma? Not really. Overall, over a long period, they tend to be similar. Some products will be low, some will be low. But overall, generally, that's a target we look for, 60% plus. And we try to target our pricing accordingly. Thank you. Somebody who has a hand raised. Hello.
Time. 4 o'clock, 1 hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have Harry and Kunwaraj.
Hi.
Hi, Harry.
Thanks very much. I just had three questions, actually. One of them was just based on that discussion of RX growing faster than OTC supplements. Did you say that there's no difference in the margin between those two segments?
On a long-term basis, yeah, not much of a difference, yes.
Okay. And then from the distribution business, I noticed that you said in the MD&A that adjusting for dual currency rate effect in Myanmar puts it down 10.6 in the first half. So can you what's the right number to look at just in terms of understanding the operations of the business? What would be the distribution number for first half 2023 and first half 2022? Just so we're looking at a like for like on the underlying performance.
See, if you keep aside the one principle that left us, I think our business is still lower by 3% or thereabout. Our existing business, and if you were to compare apple to apple distribution business, if you take out the principle who left us, which was...
Right, because you said that, I think that was 7% of sales, I think, at the beginning of the year you guided for.
Correct.
Okay.
3% wrong.
Correct.
Okay, so the right number to think of going forward is probably if we're growing off the first half, then that should be the down 10.6 number.
Yeah, for this year, yes, exactly. Okay. Because that principle was there for the full year last year, right? Yeah.
Also, there's the impact of GDP dropping, other stuff happening on consumer product imports.
Correct.
So all these will have an impact in Myanmar. So it's a flat. Take that away and 3-4% minus.
I mean, the positive that can happen is because last year also second half and fourth quarter was very slow due to currency issues, and also perhaps there's a chance that we can make up, but it's too early for us to guide that way.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. So it's a full year probably expectation is down low, high single digit.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. And last question was just, do you have any visibility on the market? What happened, how fast the market has grown, particularly on the branded side for your segments?
Where? In worldwide where we are, or only in...
Mainly in Thailand, maybe in your top three, Thailand, Vietnam.
I think the consumer market in all these markets are down. From the reports we have seen, Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, the vitamin segment is down anywhere between 20 to 30%, especially people who are playing in the COVID-related vitamin segment. So that's the general. The pharma market is anywhere growing between 3 to 8% in some of these markets, Thailand, Vietnam, in that range. So pharma market is seeing growth. Consumer health, if you take vitamins down 20, 30%, other consumer areas are flattish, or maybe 1 or 2% higher. That's the general feeling from reports to our distributors, survey based on actual sales compared to last year, Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, Indonesia, the data we have. Vietnam also is similar. COVID-related products are down. The other markets are growing. Pharma market is seeing growth. Myanmar is a different area because very hard to tell. A lot of people have struggled with imports and have had difficulties in the business. So very hard to recommend. But based on our own partners and principals, I think they are all maintaining what they were doing last year. So that's why the pharma business is flattish or maybe slightly up in certain areas. Not huge growth in the pharma business in Myanmar.
Okay, and so based on that and then your comments earlier about the kind of the number of companies that started producing supplement products during COVID, you know, should we expect quite good market share gains?
Yeah, you will see everywhere. I don't think we lost. They all came in and everybody thinks it's a good time. Supplements is the future. So everybody's got food in the market. So, and also some companies who had only supplement, they were all pumping in a lot more stock. So they're also carrying overhang. I think so. I won't say anything, but I think a lot of big companies also, but big companies have many markets. So they're also carrying a lot of COVID products, which were high volume. They are liquidating stocks as well, discounting, liquidating. So that may be also the case. I mean, we see some of it in our case also in some products. But since we have a smaller overhang, smaller portfolio, we produce our own product, we don't have such a large issue with it. But many companies do. I mean, we can see that with the supplies of vitamin C because we buy APIs, we buy raw material, we look around. So the situation is different now compared to 2 years ago. So everybody got into drinks and vitamin C drinks, vitamin C tablets, powders, you name it. You know, everybody was doing the same thing. But we were doing it for the last 20 years, 25 years. We didn't start in COVID. So I see that it's good people trust us. We have a new high and we have a new normal. We haven't gone back to the same below COVID level. So that's good. And other products are doing well. So I think it's a good situation in another way, if you look at it from a different perspective. But if you compare that, oh, your COVID sale, which nobody actually factored, if there were no COVID, we would have grown at 8, 7, 8, 10% average. Right? We were doing a high single digit, 5 to 10% range every year. So, and I think we will still get there where we had planned. And that's my view. I think if we keep looking back only at COVID, then we'll be making this wrong assumption, right? Yeah. But the other
okay, but we can infer you're gaining if there's suppliers leaving the market, then you know companies leaving the market, then you should be gaining share, right?
And they don't have the same credibility as us, right? So
sure.
If the market turns around, another thing that we are doing, we should be far better off because people choose products, you know. And those who are left, and if there is not a big price advantage here, you don't sell anything at half the price discount, but you can't always sell that at discount. So you can give 2+2 free, but how long can you do that? So I think it's a matter of time. That's why I said 24, 25, things should come back. 23 is going to have some turmoil, a little bit up and down, but that's what it is.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Varaj, could you please go ahead with your question?
Yes, this is Raj from Kasikorn Securities. I have one quick question. It's about your pricings in different currencies. So I just want to know, could you share in general, like how often you like readjust price in local currency to like reflect the change in USD, like in the current situations in Nigeria? Like since the currency depreciate, right? I just want to know, like, how fast could you like increase the price tag?
Many countries don't have a price restriction. There is no such thing as MRP or getting government approvals unless government has a criteria. Vietnam used to have that for certain areas, but generally you price them much higher than the price, and then you give discounts and promotions. So you take them away and you can adjust. So price adjustments can be done by many ways. You know, you stop giving 12+1, you stop your schemes, you stop your discounts, and you can correct your price. So as a country head and leaders in our business, all of them are businessmen, partly they're just not managers. And they know the dollar to the to the local currency rates, and we understand the market, and we look at constantly what the competitors are doing. If the currency is moving ahead, we try to stay ahead of the currency. Our pricing is based on the higher currency, but the price is not currency related only. Price is also product related. If the currency is 100, it doesn't matter. I'm pricing my product based on a certain price to trade. And there's a margin involved in that 60% or 70% or 48%, whatever there is. That will vary by product. And then there's investment made in A&P and all the other activities to grow and build the product. So some products may have 40% margin, some may have 68% margin or 74% margin. That's why we get to an average of 60-62. So pricing is a constant thing, you know. Currency changes, then we relook at it, we sit down. In many places, there's a dollar price that is changed every day. The price will be a new price every day. If the currency changes too much, in some countries, we stop selling. And then we wait till it stabilizes and we put a new price list out. The others, we correct prices and we can't change every day. You know, you can't do that every day. So you stay ahead of the market and then you wait and see and you correct when the time is right. So I think it's an ongoing mechanism. Price is an ongoing mechanism related to product, is growth. It's a part of the strategy, right? One is a currency issue, which sometimes we also may decide that I can take a hit because we have we are also buying in baht and the baht's gone up by 20% while the currency there is depreciated by 30%. So could I then not increase all the 30% in the country and only increase 10%? That also we can do. So these decisions we discuss. Countries generally do that solely on their end, but when there is a both sides we are seeing gain and loss, we also look at and see maybe it's a good idea to not increase so much and gain market share. So I think there's a lot of things that go on in pricing all the time, but this is very strategic, and I don't know how much I can explain on this, but are we aware? Are our country people aware? All the heads are aware of the exchange rates, and they are very well watched on it, and as far as possible, you make corrections to the selling price to trade, right? But at many times, we consciously make the decision not to do it as well. And that's how over the last 5, 10, 25 years, we've been in these markets, not today, right? So you will see exchange loss, exchange gain. It's the first time that we have had, probably, I don't know, at least I can't remember, but we probably had such a big exchange loss. It's first time that, so again, Thomas explained, is because of the change in the method. Reporting doesn't allow us to report. Otherwise, we could have reported 650 also because we were anyway selling at 650. We could have any saying that we will explain to you next time. But the book says you can only use bank rate. And that's why this big hit came. Otherwise, we are anyway selling at 650 in Nigeria even before the rate became 750. So it's a normal thing that we do all the time. And it's a part of the business operation. Hence, you see very little currency loss or gain. If you look at plus minus, we are probably equal. And that's how the profitability every year we deliver is coming because we are able to manage that.
Okay, thanks.
So Minling, we have one more hand. We have a few minutes. I think we are done, 4 o'clock. Maybe the last question and then if you have some more, Francis, Thomas, Manoj, Krishna are here to answer your question. We can. Last question.
Yeah, sure.
Do you have a question, Milling?
Milling.
Thing is gone.
This to the view, is that it?
Revenue conversion, Nigeria, we don't declare currency, but Africa is what? 16-18% total, 12% total in the overall turnover. So Nigeria is, even if we take it to be the largest part of Africa, it's not more than 4-5%.
Right.
Okay. So thank you, gentlemen, ladies, and my dear friends. Kapkun mag le kap deo. Tami alai kam tha. Ama kap chue. Tito, team IR, kun Manoj, kun Francis, kun Na, kun Thomas. And we'll see you again next time. Thank you so much for your support and being there and believing in us. Once again, thank you. Swadi kap.
Khob kun mak ka.
Swadi kap. Swadi kap. Swadi kap.